It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It is Thursday, June 27th, 2019, and we have 11 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, it's going to be kind of breezy out there. South winds 10 to 15 knots, gusting to 20 in the afternoon. Wind waves from the south 3 feet high at 4 seconds apart, and west swells 2 feet at 8 seconds. So we've got those south local wind waves and west swells 2 feet at 8 seconds. So we could have a little bit of confused seas activity out there, although the seas are not all that big compared to what they potentially could be here and have been many times in the past. Scattered showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms early in the day, and then showers and a chance of thunderstorms later on in the day. And today we're going to talk a little bit about, I'm going to share an editorial with you and talk a little bit more about the topic of autonomous vessels, vessels with no people on board. One of the biggest expenses for ships is the people and their wages and feeding them on board. But this person makes a he's quite a quite a heavy hitter in the maritime industry, a professor. I'll tell you who about him in a minute. Saying really that, you know, it might be a wash and you'd incur a lot more risk in certain areas and certain situations not having real people on board. That sounds good to me. I love the idea of mariners on board. And I know I've met many mariners who love going to sea and wouldn't have it any other way. But first, let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule. 2 inbounders, 5 in our Astoria anchorages, and 4 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. First arrival in the river today is the Santiago Basin. She's a bulk carrier headed for Longview's anchorage. She'll pass Astoria maybe around 9:30 a.m., and you might see her in Longview by about maybe 1 o'clock this afternoon. She's going to a berth that handles petcoke, and she'll be picking that up for export. The Bright Phoenix is next inbound. She's arriving from China. She is headed for the Vancouver anchorage, and she's going to be picking up soda ash eventually at the port of Portland. But the anchorage there is right off of Vancouver, and then the ships just zip up the Willamette a little bit to the port of Portland. So she'll pass Astoria around 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. She'll be, or approximately 5 p.m., she'll be in that Vancouver anchorage area. In our Astoria anchorages, we have, I believe, a bunch of wheat ships, the same kind of bunch that we have had all week, the Prabhu Shakti, the Sakazaya Noble, the Kania is also awaiting orders. The Pan Bicorn and the Magic P is at the Rice Island anchorage, along with the Pan Bicorn. So it's all, we often have wheat ships here on the river, and at this point, it's kind of interesting that in the anchorage, all of our awaiting vessels are going to be going upriver eventually to pick up wheat. And our outbounders, the Casey, is leaving the port of Portland with soda ash on board. She's heading out at about maybe 4:30 this afternoon, so maybe about 10:30 past Astoria outbound. The Fanula is leaving Longview with wheat on board at about 4 p.m. She will, she'll be maybe passing outbound about maybe 7:30 or so. The Blessed Luck is leaving Kalama with wheat on board also about 6 p.m., so maybe around 11 p.m. past Astoria. And the English Bay is leaving Vancouver with bentonite clay on board, kitty litter, but also it's a clarifying agent, industrial clarifying agent to clarify liquids, pull sediment out of liquids. 6:30 p.m. headed outbound, so maybe about a little after midnight past Astoria outbound. And that ship that I thought was coming downriver yesterday, the Combi Dock 1, she's a very special heavy lift ship that brought in all those wind turbine parts. She is apparently still unloading those at Port of Vancouver, and so that she's got 98 wind turbine parts on board. She came in on Monday, and they have to take those off the ship one at a time and very carefully place them on the ground and shore them up so that they don't fall over or get broken. They're fairly, very heavy, but fairly fragile. And it's going to take them until October to deliver all of those to Eastern Washington. So a very elaborate. So the short answer is that the Combi Dock 1 did not come down the river yesterday. She was on the schedule yesterday, maybe to leave over the weekend from the port of Portland. You might just check marinetraffic.com over the weekend. If I see anything happening, I will post it on my Ship Report Facebook page. Well, let's talk about autonomous ships or the potential for them. This is an editorial that I found. I think it was Maritime Executive magazine. Commander David Dubay is a military professor of international law and associate director for the Law of Maritime Operations, Stockton Center for International Law at the U.S. Naval War College in Rhode Island. So He's a pretty knowledgeable guy. He's been around the industry a long time. You see, of course, tendencies toward autonomous things like cars and boats and ships. The Tesla has they've experimented with autonomy in cars with varying results. And there have been some experiments even with the U.S. military in ships that don't have people on board. So, you know, it's a tempting idea. You could save maybe a lot of money by not having people on board, but kind of fraught. And when I think of our area here, where the Columbia River, for instance, is such a confined area with such a winding channel, 100 course changes between Astoria and Portland alone, and tremendous challenges also in bad weather or any kind of weather coming in from between the ocean and here in Astoria, just those 17 miles or so, can be, you know, I've heard people, bar pilots that I've interviewed, talk about the English of ships, meaning that when you're on the bridge of a ship, you get a feel for how the ship moves. And that's a very intuitive thing that a person can sense when they've been on a vessel for a while handling it. And that this is part of the process of piloting, that you get a feel for what the ship can do and will do, and you accommodate accordingly to keep that ship safely in the channel. Now, I had some people say, well, you know, we could do that with GPS, but boy, the stories that I've heard about inclement weather here, especially in the winter, just make it seem like that would not work really well here. So here's a little bit from this editorial. The world will never see fully autonomous oceanic, transoceanic commercial cargo ships. In fact, autonomous vessels are likely to operate only in very limited conditions. And I'll just skip around a little bit. This is a very long editorial. The professional merchant mariners who operate ships today are the crucial on-scene decision makers, repairmen, and physical security providers who make commercial shipping secure, efficient, and inexpensive. And it is true that shipping is quite inexpensive compared to other, even with its costs, compared to other ways of doing things. When I was on a ship, speaking of repairmen, when I was on a ship in 2010 that traveled from the Columbia River up to Tacoma and down to and Puget Sound area and down to San Francisco, at one point, a part broke. And the engineer went down into the engine room into a special workshop area and made a new part. He was a machinist. He just made a new part. They put it in the ship, and the ship kept going. Otherwise, they might have been disabled at sea. So things like this, you know, this person makes the point that if you replace the crew with machines on board, you're more likely to have expensive technological workers on land who may be working in offices who will be on call to assist those autonomous ships as they cross the ocean. Another thing that I thought of that could be a real downside is that the AMVER system could not work. This is that sort of a brotherhood, in a sense, international brotherhood of ships that have signed on saying that if anybody gets in trouble at sea, you can call us. We'll even divert from our course to come and rescue, say, a recreational vessel. Many sailboaters who are transoceanic sailors have been rescued by cargo ships because there were real people on board. They could change the course of the ship and handle all those in-person details when you're picking up a person who is having trouble at sea. So lots of reason to keep real people on board, and I'm in favor of that. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.